Thank you, Pastor Sam. Before I bring the word this morning, I want us to take a look at another of For the One testimony.
My name is Abriana Rhodes, and I have been going to Abundant Life for 4, going on 5 years now. I've been raised in the church, but I hadn't started coming to Hype until the summer after my 8th grade year. A friend of mine who was going to a different school at that time came up to me and was like, you know, hey, AB, here's this really cool church that I go to, and they do all these events and stuff. And so I was in 8th grade at the time, and of course I wanted to like hang out with my friends. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna talk to my parents about, you know, letting me go. And you know, I remember the first time I did come to Hype, I remember just the atmosphere. Everybody was like so on fire for God, and I had never been in such an atmosphere to where, you know, people wanted to seek God, like genuinely, because, you know, I was raised in the church, but I was raised in a Baptist church that was really built off of tradition, that was really built off of, you know, you stand up at this time, you sit down at this time, you give this amount of money, you do this, you do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. The atmosphere that Hype created for me is really what made me want to get involved with the church as a whole, because I'd never seen such a youth group on fire for God, and I knew that if there was youth that were doing this, for some reason, the church must be doing something great too, which was true. So, you know, I started attending the services, and I'd never attended services to where a pastor truly spoke to me, because for the first time in my whole life, I saw a pastor actually preach from the Bible. And I'm a very logical person. I'm like, you know, a textbook person. You know, if you're gonna teach me, you better teach me the facts. I began to start coming to the Sunday school, and then after that, my older sister and I began to start attending these Sunday services, and a little while after that, my parents began to attend with us. So. I am Abriana Rhodes, and I am the one.
Again, glad that you're here with us today, and if this is your first time to join us, you've noticed that we have banners on both walls outside the building. We're in a series entitled For the One, because we believe that Jesus has called us to partner with him in making sure that that one that hasn't heard, to leave the 99 and go after the one. Today when you leave, we want to give you something else to remember to pray for your one, to remember that we want to be all about the one. And so I kind of like this little thing. We're going to give you this morning as you leave for the back of your smartphone. Phone wallet that just sticks on the back of your phone, and you can put cards in there. Now, if you don't want to put your credit card in there because you're afraid you'll lose your phone, man, if I lose my phone, just shoot me. But maybe you won't want to put your credit card in there. You want to put your Tom Thumb, Albertsons, Walmart, you know, whatever. It's just a little handy, nifty tool that you can use there, and it will remind us all about the one. And speaking of that, I do want to say, if you did not get one of our For the One brochures, we have these for you today as well. And as you leave, those will be available as well. Well, as I said, we're in this For the One series, and this is the third message in the series, and I've entitled it, the message the Lord has given me is Worldview and Reaching the One. But before we start to get into the scripture, let me share with you a guy that had a little bit different view. You know, how many of you have heard you can't take it with you? Have you heard that? You can't take it with you? Well, I read about a guy who said he was going to try and disprove that theory that you can't take it with you. So he had three of his closest friends come, and he was having, he was terminal. He knew that he was going to die, and he invited his friends over. One friend was a doctor. One friend was a lawyer, and another friend was a professor. And he said, you know, I want to prove people wrong that you can't take it with you. So I've asked you here today because I'm going to give each of you an envelope. And in this envelope, I have placed $100,000 cash. And here's what I want you to do. you take this envelope, and after you hear I'm passed away and you come to the service, I want you to be there. And before the pastor has them close the casket, I want you to walk up and place that envelope with $100,000 in it and leave it in the casket and then just walk away. They all agreed to take it, and they took the envelopes. Well, the day came, and their friend finally passed away, and they showed up to the service. It was a very moving service, and they came up, and they each placed their envelope into the casket, and the casket was closed, and they went to the cemetery. They had the interment, and all of those things took place, and then these three guys decided that they'd go out and have a cup of coffee together a day or two later. And one of them was just kind of looking very nervous. And he says, "Hey, I got to confess to you." He said, "You know, I got to thinking about that. You know, that doesn't make any sense to bury $100,000 with somebody. You know, what good's that going to do him?" So, you know, they were having this thing going on at the hospital, building a wing, and I took $50,000 cash out of that envelope, and so there was only $50,000 in it. And the other friend, the professor, said, "Man, I'm glad you said something." He said, "You know, I did the same thing." He said, "You know, I thought, why? How could he use this? You know, it's just going to be buried. It's useless." And so he confessed as well. And they looked at the lawyer, and the lawyer looked at him, and he's just looking at him and looking at him. And he said, "Why are you looking at me?" He said, I'm shocked that you would do such a thing. As a matter of fact, I'm ashamed that you would betray our friend like that. I put in a check for the full amount." You can't take it with you. Well, this is a message about worldview. Do you understand that worldview affects everything about our lives? Worldview is about the philosophy of life that we live by. And, you know, it's the viewpoint that affects, it's the linchpin of our thoughts, our decisions, our actions. Clearly, it's the lens through which we live our life. I want you to go with me. You know, the lens through which we live our life and worldview affects what we do with all of our resources, whether it's money or talents or abilities. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at verses 19 through 24. Read it along with me. Follow along with me is what I meant to say as I read it. Matthew 6, 19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is saying, here's the worldview that you need to have as my followers. And then he says, he's talking about worldview here when he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Still talking about worldview here, he says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you for the anointing of God. I thank you, it's your word, it's not my word, and I pray that you would just speak to me and speak to us, because you desire, oh God, to bless us. You desire to give us direction to where we can have enjoyment in this life and the life to come. In Jesus' name, and everyone said. You know, first of all, Jesus teaches us that our worldview, it affects how and what we live for. You know, he says there in 19 through 20, "Don't store up for yourselves on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And in heaven, the moth and the rust don't destroy, and thieves don't break in." So there is this earthly I kind of don't like to say worldly view, because I, you know, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. But when I say earthly, it's just, I want you to see, it's just a focus on here and now without an understanding that there's an eternity thereafter. But Jesus, in talking about the earthly view, is only concerned about earthly things. You know, if we have just an earthly worldview, then we're worried about and we obsess about, and our lives are all about living for this moment and consumed with the present moment. I know we all know some people like that. You know, when we're just consumed with the here and now, sometimes, you know, our vision is clouded and we don't see clearly like Jesus talked about. I read about a shepherd who lived in Montana, and I know many of you know that Montana and the Dakotas and that, they discovered that shale oil there, and things went crazy, and a lot of wealth was developed there. This shepherd discovered oil on his land and he became enormously rich. So one of the first things that he decided he wanted to do, he bought a Rolls Royce limousine. And the kind where it's usually driven by a chauffeur, you know, that kind that has the power window in between, you know, in between the back and the front. And he had this limousine, and he was really enjoying this limousine. And so one day it was time for service, and he brought it in for service, and the mechanic was just really impressed that this shepherd had a Rolls Royce. And he said, you know, this is a marvelous machine. What do you like best about it? Well, the shepherd said, you know what I like best about it? I like best that window that comes up between the driver and the compartment in the back. Because, you know, that window, what I really like about that is I can take my sheep to the market without them having licked my neck. Strictly earthly worldview gets our priorities out of whack, doesn't it? You know? For instance, have you ever thought about that how the world prioritizes the earthly riches? The world would tell us earn money, enjoy money, over-enjoy your money, over-indulge enjoying your money, and then repay your debts of overspending and over-enjoying. And then save for the future once you're out of debt and give if and when there is anything left. That's kind of the way the world approaches with an earthly view. Now, I want us to hear this because this will bless you if you'll embrace this. God changes up the priorities for our lives. God doesn't want us to be so encumbered with debt. Hello. Right? God, and I hope that every millennial and everyone that you know, just beginning in life, you will hear this today. That God doesn't want us to be suffocated by debt. And so if you'll study God's word, you will find that the Bible talks about saving, doesn't it? Do I have any witnesses here? The Bible talks about saving. And the earlier you and I learn to save, the better off our life's going to be. The earlier we learn to save, maybe you aren't convinced, but for instance, let me remind you that the Proverbs chapter 6, I believe it's 6 through 8, says that we ought to look at the ant and consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. You know, I was thinking about just recently having, I guess it was many months ago, as we're reading through the Bible here at Abundant Life, many of us are on this plan to go read through the Bible together. And I thought about Joseph and the wisdom that God gave Joseph when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And remember the dream of the fat cattle and the lean cattle and the fat full ears of corn, and the ears of corn, there hardly was anything there. And so Joseph said, here's what you ought to do. During the good years, you need to build and have provision to save so that when the lean years come along, there will be plenty. You know what? That's the plan of God for your and my life. Hello? It would be a good plan for the government to get on. That would make us the head and not the tail, right? I want to tell you that the Word of God will give you life if you will follow the precepts of the Word of God. And so there, the Bible teaches us these things. Then there's the proverb in Proverbs 21:20 says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but the foolish man devours all he has." See, the earthly worldview is live for the moment in the present without any thought for the future. You know, the point is this. God reprioritizes in his word. I don't have time to go and give you all of the different texts that support this, but they're there. You know, the word of God tells us that we should earn our money. He that doesn't work shouldn't eat. Remember? You know, that we ought to earn our money. But then the word of God says, don't give to me afterwards, but then give to me the first fruits. That's why many of the people of this body have practiced tithing, that 10%. Give to him first. And then God's priority is different from the world. Then after you give to God, save. And then repay your debt. Owe no man nothing. And God says that we ought to enjoy it. Here's the point that I want to share with you this morning. In our worldview as believers, the point is that when we prioritize our lives and our worldview according to God's worldview, the results are more peace, more generosity, and actually more financial freedom in our lives. Thank you for the one or two that said amen. And you know, that's the reason why, from time to time, we offer a class here that a man once said, live like no one else so you can live like no one else. Who said that? Dave Ramsey, that's right. And you know, we have, through the years, have been at different times offering the Dave Ramsey course. It's called Financial Peace because it is a worldview that is different than the earthly view that embraces the principles. Again, God's principles result in more peace and generosity and financial freedom in our lives. So Jesus teaches us that our worldview takes and determines how we live and what we live for. Secondly, Jesus teaches us that our worldview affects us where we place our treasure. Now, I've already pointed out this, but maybe you missed it. The Bible doesn't say not to store. It does say store. It says, don't make the priority of your storing just here on earth, but make sure that there's some storing that you do that's a treasure in heaven. And the point is, the believer, the follower of Christ, places treasure in heaven because heaven is of first importance in the believer's worldview. Stop and think about that for a moment. If heaven and being following after the principles of God and looking at an eternity with God isn't a first priority, isn't of preeminence in my life, then I'm going to live any way I want to live. But that's not what the Christian life is all about, is it? The believer, the follower of Christ, places treasure in heaven. Now, these treasures, an entire series of message could talk about, well, what does he mean by that? I think part of, for me, one of the treasures in heaven is that I'm sending by sharing the gospel with people. There's going to be the treasure there of those people that I'm going to spend eternity with. That's an incredible treasure that we have there. I don't know about you, but I have parents that are already there. I have a brother that's already there. I have family members that are already there. And you know, we're making a difference here in Abundant Life, helping people to see that heaven is of incredible importance. Take a look at this video with me, please.
My name is Christy Estrada, and I've been attending Abundant Life since October 2016. So we have five sons. Jacob was my middle son. He went to a party his best friend at his best friend's house. There was another kid there that was a friend of a friend who was brandishing a gun. Unfortunately, my son Jacob stood up to him and told him to put the gun away. Zachary Rico took the gun out and pointed it to Jacob's left temple and asked him if he was afraid to die, and Jacob told him no, that if it was his time to go, it was his time to go, that God's got him, and he shot and killed Jacob. And from that point, it was, I don't remember a whole lot afterwards. I was shocked. It was the most devastating night of my life. We needed a place to hold service that was pretty large and that had a place where we could have a dinner afterwards. Marianne has always been a part of our lives since Jacob and Mikey were four, and knew and loved Jacob also. So she was very receptive in helping us and getting with the church and the pastor and just helping us set up the service and the dinner afterwards here. The church helped us by just having open arms and receiving us into the church. They were very supportive emotionally and with our faith. We actually started rebuilding our faith at Abundant Life. We were broken spiritually and emotionally, and we found comfort in coming to Abundant Life. Honestly, when I look back on it and I tell everyone, there's no way I could have made it then with that loss without coming to Abundant Life. My name is Christy Estrada, and I am the one.
See, we are motivated by a worldview and where we place our treasures. That is the premise of everything for the one. This family that was so broken and so confused over the murder of their son. You don't realize it, but you were there for them. You provided for them. You were there for the one. It's the heart of hearing and understanding and acting on the fact, this worldview, everything for the one, that God is not willing that anyone should not be redeemed, that shouldn't perish. It's the essence of leaving the 99 sheep to go after the one, this worldview of the importance of everyone hearing and knowing that he's prepared a place for us. And just in case we didn't understand this, in the same chapter where the text is from, Jesus makes it clear that in just a few verses later in this chapter, as he sums up everything he's saying, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You see, Jesus teaches that our worldview will determine where we place our treasure. It also teaches us that the believer or the follower of Christ places treasure in heaven because it is the surest and securest investment anyone can make. You know, look at this. Where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, I'm sure all of us, if we've been involved in saving, we think about, man, what's the surest and the securest place that I can put things? You know, just because something seems sure and seems secure, it may not necessarily be sure, right? It reminds me of a story that I read about an archaeologist. Now, I can't tell you whether it's true or not, but this archaeologist was digging in the Negev Desert in Israel and came upon a sarcophagus that contained a mummy. And when they opened it, and after examining it, he called the curator of a prestigious natural history museum. He said, I'm so excited. We have just discovered a 3,000-year-old mummy, and the man died of a heart attack. There was silence on the phone for a minute. Said he died of heart failure. The scientist was questioned, and the curator replied, "Well, you know, bring him in, and we'll check it out. We'll try and figure out what happened here." Well, about a week later, the curator was amazed, and he called the archaeologist back, and he said, "You know, you were absolutely right about the mummy's age and the cause of his death. But what I want to know is, how in the world did you know that he died of heart failure?" He said, "It was easy. I found a piece of paper in the mummy's hand that said 10,000 shekels on Goliath." Seemed like a sure thing, didn't it? Seemed like it wasn't risky at all. I mean, the guy's 9 feet tall, and there's this little boy, and all he's got is a slingshot. Just because something seems sure doesn't always work out that way. But Jesus said, heaven's vault is the securest and the surest and the safest place in all of the universe. Finally, this morning, we see that Jesus teaches that our worldview affects, and this is really the point, I think, that Jesus is wanting to make here. There's truths all along this way, but the real point here is that our worldview affects the destiny of our heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, the ultimate reason for putting your treasure in heaven or internal things has to do with the direction or location of our heart. You know, no one had more insight into the human heart than Jesus. You know, Jesus knows everyone will have something that they treasure. He knows that your heart, my heart, will follow what I treasure. And so he's giving us direction. Anybody here ever grown sunflowers? Have you ever planted sunflowers? A few folks along here. Have you ever noticed that if you have a bunch of sunflower plants, when the face of that sunflower comes up, what does it tend to do? It tends to follow the sun. Jesus said, if you want to follow me and what's important to my heart, reaching the one, going after the 99, you want to follow the S-O-N, make sure that you are investing treasure in eternal things, into the kingdom of God. Your heart will follow what you treasure. You see, the biblical heart represents the very center of what we're about. It represents our worldview. The truth is, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said to him, "Give away everything and follow me." Now, I submit to you, because of the context of all of the Word of God, Jesus said that to him because he knew where his heart was. The Lord, clearly, the point wasn't that the man had great wealth, but the point was is that the great wealth had the man. Jesus said, Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And I believe that's the reason why we ought to embrace the truth of tithing, that we ought to embrace the truth of giving. It keeps money from having the grip on us and us being the master. See, God's desire is that money and things serve us and that we master them. Would you stand together with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. You You know, ultimately, God wants us to treasure heaven because he treasures us. Say that with me. God treasures me. God treasures me. God treasures every person that has ever lived and will ever live. I'm talking to someone here today that God has been chasing after. He's been, as we've sung, he's been busting down walls, pretenses, and arguments that others have erected or that you have erected. And it's no accident that you are in the house today. There's people here today that there are other things that are in control, and you've lost control, and God is wanting to just give you peace, freedom, and this eternal life. I tell you this morning, it is your moment of liberty and freedom. If you're here today, those of you who are here today that you've heard this, and God's, this isn't about money, this is about your life. Oh, money is a part of life, treasure is a part of life. But the ultimate goal of God is you, the one. He's leaving the 99 and coming after you. If you're here today and you are ready to respond to him, would you just put your hand up right where you are? Put it up, hold it there for a moment. Yes, thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir. Put it up, hold it there for a moment. Anyone else? There's other people here this morning. Put your hand up. Thank you, Lord. You put it up and put it down. Yes, sir. Thank you for that hand. Yes. I want you to do something really bold, okay? I want you to just excuse yourself where you're at and come stand right here this morning. You know, he's kicking down walls. He's coming at me. That's right. Thanks for stepping out. Come in here right now. Come on, you raised your hand. Even if you didn't raise your hand, come on down here. Respond to him kicking down the walls, breaking down every lie. Thank you, Lord. I need some believers to gather around, some other believers to just gather around people and pray with them this morning as they come, responding to what God is saying. Father, come on, let's sing it together.